Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt. My name is Bodhi, and I am your host. And on today's episode, we have actual news. Very exciting. I do need to let you know, though, we are not going to talk about Cybertruck today. Even though Elon was on Joe Rogan and talked a little bit about Cybertruck, we really didn't find that much out anyway. But I have a whole episode planned for November 21st, and that's when we're going to chat about the Cybertruck. So, yeah, I want to save all that for that episode. All right, let's jump into our EV news. And speaking of jumping, Subaru is jumping on the NACS bandwagon. This makes a lot of sense. Subaru only makes one electric vehicle, and that one electric vehicle that Subaru happens to make is more or less the Toyota BZ4X or BZ4X for the folks that don't live in North America. You know, Toyota jumped on the NACS bandwagon. I'm saying jumped a lot. It's not even written on the paper. I don't even know why I'm doing that. Toyota said that they were adopting NACS, the NACS connector, a few weeks ago. This makes sense. The Subaru Solterra, like I said, is largely a cousin. We'll call it a cousin to the Toyota BZ4X. So this could have just as easily been announced when they announced that Toyota was going to use the NACS adapter. The 2024 Hyundai Ioniq 5 has received IIHS's Top Safety Pick Plus, which is the highest award given by the organization. So congratulations to the Hyundai team, or the Hyundai Ioniq 5 team. All right, let's move on to NIO and their October 2023 sales. They actually grew year over year, 60% increase year over year. NIO sold or delivered 16,074 electric vehicles. In 2023 total, NIO has delivered more than 126,000 EVs, which is up 33% from a year ago. So this is great. NIO is trending in the right direction. Unfortunately, they're still not profitable. Right now, this is an amazing number. Right now, NIO is losing around $35,000 a car. That is a very impressive number. So to combat the losses, they are going to cut 10% of the staff positions to help them achieve profitability. And I hate seeing anyone lose their jobs, but sometimes this does make sense for a business to do. NIO's CEO, William Lee, says that NIO will eliminate duplicate and other inefficient roles. So it makes sense. Tesla went through something similar, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, where they just got rid of all of the contractors that weren't doing anything. They got rid of all of the duplicate roles, all of the extra, you know, layers of management that weren't needed. So this does make sense to me. Another avenue NIO is seeking to reach profitability is to sell their cars in the United States by 2025. Now, it remains to be seen if that will be a profitable venture for them or not, but I'm looking forward to seeing an actual NIO vehicle driving on the roads here in the United States. I do wonder if they'll contract with a company like Foxconn or Magna Steyr to build their electric vehicles here in the United States, because that would allow, if they meet certain criteria, for them to take advantage of EV tax credits. And honestly, partnering with a company like Magna Steyr or Foxconn would not be that far out of the realm of possibility, because right now, NIO doesn't build their own cars. They were going to, and then they decided it was going to cost them too much money. So they ended up sticking with JAC Motors in Japan, and they are the ones that actually build NIO's vehicles. And one last thing before we move on to our next story, as far as, you know, how NIO would do here in the United States, I think they would be roughly as popular as Polestar is here in the United States. And as, you know, from the circles that I run in, Polestar has a very good reputation and it's thought to be a solidly built car. I don't think NIO is going to gain the same market share as Tesla, for instance, but I think it could have a nice, comfortable niche here in the United States. And I'm looking forward to seeing these cars, you know, rolling around on US streets and Canadian and Mexican streets as well. Speaking of foreign cars rolling around on US and Canadian and Mexican streets, VinFast is thinking of bringing the VF3 EV to the United States. Currently, it's set only to be released in Vietnam, and it actually might be released in Vietnam. The article that I got this from wasn't exactly clear, or at least I didn't pick up on it if it was. Anyway, the whole point is VinFast polled nearly 100 US dealers on whether or not they should bring the VF3 to the United States. And nearly 100% of those dealers said yes. I don't understand why they just didn't give us the actual percentage, but nearly 100% said yes. Here are some highlights of the VF3. First of all, it's boxy and stubby. In my eye, it looks like a Dodge Raider, if you can remember that far back, which was my first car. My first car was a Dodge Raider, and I loved that car. It was awesome. It was an amazing car. It's also roughly the size of a Suzuki Sidekick. It's not very big. It's boxy and stubby, like I mentioned. It's a bit longer than 10 feet, but not much. It's actually shorter than the Mazda Miata, so it's a small car. It's an SUV. It's got two doors. It seats five people. They claim back some of that space in the cabin for comfort by making the dash really shallow, and it is. It's super shallow. There's some space for luggage in the back. It's going to come in two trim levels, Eco and Plus. Right now, we don't have specs, but we do have a price. In Vietnam, this car retails for $12,200, which is insane. If they brought it here to the United States, it would be under $20,000, which is amazing. But the question remains, will U.S. citizens, North Americans, will they buy this car? And the answer is, I think they will. I think people are going to actually end up loving this car. It is really cool looking. It's well designed. The interior, for me, looks a little minimalist, just to be polite. But it's a $20,000 car. I'm not expecting, you know, Mercedes level quality in the interior of this car. It's an affordable car. Lots of people can afford, not everybody, but lots of people will be able to afford this car. And when you consider that VinFast is building a factory currently in North Carolina, and if it meets, you know, there's certain criteria, then that may qualify for the $7,500 tax credit here in the US that would allow some buyers to pick this car up for less than $10,000 when you add in incentives from different states and localities. Like, it's not everybody's going to pick it up for that cheap. Everybody in the US who qualifies will get the $7,500 tax credit. If you live in some state, if you live in California and some cities, you get the state incentive plus a local incentive, and you know, there's lots of different things out there. But yeah, that would make this car not free, but really cheap. I know Canada has incentives for cars as well, for EVs in Mexico. So this is this. I think this is a good deal. Even if it ends up selling for $2,500 or $25,000 here in the United States, I think it's still a very good deal. Speaking of good deals, if you are feeling really generous this year and want to give an unnamed EV podcast host a Christmas gift, Cadillac has teamed up with Neiman Marcus to make the most expensive Cadillac EV uglier and a bit more bougie. The Cadillac Celeste is one of the ugliest cars I've ever seen. I hardly talk about this car because the base price of this thing is $340,000. Well, now you can get the Neiman Marcus trim, which is nearly three times as much. This car costs $975,000. Why in the world you would buy this thing is beyond me. What are the specs? My answer to that is, who cares? This is an abomination. It does nothing to curb the stereotype that EV owners are elitist. Like, it's not enough that you can afford a $340,000 car. You can pay three times of what that car is worth and get a $975,000 Neiman Marcus branded Cadillac Celeste. I don't know. This was dumb. I think this is a complete waste of money. If the money was going to charity, great. I could see why somebody would do that, but I don't know. Please, this holiday season, if you are inclined, donate or volunteer at your local food bank or other low reputable charity. And don't buy a $975,000 car that's really only worth $340,000. Remember when the Chevy Equinox EV was going to be affordable? Remember? It wasn't that long ago. It was just a couple months ago, really. On GM's earnings call, they announced that they were going to push out the launch of several of their EVs by a few months. And the Equinox was one of those EVs. Well, recently, GM had a conference call, or Chevy had a conference call with journalists, and they announced the Equinox EV. They announced that they're going to raise the starting price by $35,000. But that version of the car, the base version of the car, will not be available till the end of 2024, unless Chevy delays it again, and then sometime in 2025. But at the beginning of 2024, you can get an Equinox EV. They'll start delivering them in the beginning of 2024, according to what, you know, Chevy is saying. But the starting price for the front-wheel drive version of this car is going to be $49,000. And the all-wheel drive version will be around $52,000. It's actually a bit more than $52,000. So their affordable EV, the Chevy Equinox, the affordable EV that was going to start at $30,000, will eventually someday start at $35,000, maybe. But in reality, it's going to start at $49,000. I'm not going to go into the specs because I'm sure what we'll end up getting at launch is not what I'm going to talk about today. And I don't feel like it's productive because things can change. This story actually makes me very sad. So if you were holding out for the Chevy Equinox and you're like, I'm not paying $49,000 for a car that they said would cost $30,000. The good news is, you know, the Chevy Bolt will be available until March of 2024. You know, they're going to start winding down production at the end of December 2023 on the Chevy Bolt, but you should be able to get one until March of 2024, according to Chevy.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
All right. I don't know why, but those last two stories made me upset. My stutter came out a little bit. Yeah, that's nice. I always like when that happens. Let's go ahead and thank the people who support this show. And I promise not to stutter through this. Because everybody who supports the show is actually supporting the show and not me. I do not use the money that goes into the show for myself. It pays for the production of the show. And it's more expensive than you think. It's not just paying for podcast hosting. There's a lot that goes into this show. So I want to thank the following people. These folks support on Acast Plus: David, Ravi, Jerbo, and Sean. And I don't usually do this, but I would like to thank the following people who follow us on Patreon. It doesn't mean that they are supporting on Patreon, but they do follow us. I want to thank Casey, Jerbo, Eric, and Brian. Jerbo is on probation because he supports us on Acast Plus. He follows in Patreon and he also pays in Patreon. So Jerbo, only one place, please. And now on to the folks who support us through Patreon. John, Just Another Nick, Charles, Electron Waste, Raceway Fabricator, Scott, Gene, Chris B, Jaime, Mo Cowbell. Kind of an interesting story. More Cowbell was the slogan for my fire academy. Don, Christopher, Steven, Alex, Alan, Friendly Sleet 66, Joseph, Jeffrey, Steve, Bruce W., Isaiah, Howard, Jessica Kirsch, Bruce C., Michael Muskie, Rolando, Tommaso, Chip, Chris B., Sierra, Dale, Don, Cameron, Nate Z., Mark, and James from True North EVs. And I should say Jessica Kirsch has a YouTube channel, youtube.com/Jessica Kirsch. Thank you all very much for supporting this show. I really appreciate it. If you would like to join them, I only ask for $1. $1 and you get rid of the ads. So you can go to patreon.com/kilowatt or you can go to Acast Plus. All of the links are in the show notes. But again, thanks to all who are supporting this show. Let's go ahead and move into our Tesla news. Some Model 3 Highland owners have taken to Reddit to talk about their new vehicles. The Model 3 Highland is not yet available here in the United States, so most, if not all, of these people who are talking about it are European owners. They say the car is more comfortable, the suspension has improved by quite a bit, the speaker system is great. One of the complaints about the Highland, though, is that Tesla Vision isn't up to snuff. There's problems with the parking visualizations. The automatic wipers don't come on when it rains. There's random warnings to stop immediately, even though there's no car in front of you. I just want to say, when you read this stuff, take it seriously, but also know it'll get better. Tesla has a habit of degrading the autopilot full self-driving service when they introduce new hardware and then they build it back up. All of this will get better. I'm assuming this is all based on hardware 4. It'll get better. Let's see. Tesla service workers in Sweden have gone on strike because Tesla has refused to sign a collective bargaining agreement. As a result, Swedish dock workers in consolidation with the Tesla service workers have stated that they will refuse to unload Teslas at Swedish ports unless Tesla resolves the issue in a timely manner. Right now, EVs make up 60% market share in Sweden, or I should say plug-in cars, because you can have a plug-in hybrid, but 60% is a lot. The Model Y is currently the best-selling EV in Sweden. 6% of sales for the total car market in Sweden are the Model Y, which accounts for 14,000 Model Ys to this point. So what are the Tesla service workers claiming? Well, they're claiming that their working conditions are worse than other auto mechanics in Sweden. The collective bargaining agreement is meant to bring Tesla in line with the rest of the industry. The strike includes 130 service workers in 7 different locations. I'm going to be honest, I don't know much about the labor market in Sweden. I do know Tesla has not been open to working with unions in the past, and it could be argued that they've been hostile to some employees who have tried to unionize. And when I say argued, they have been. It's found guilty of that. The article, which I got from Electric, states that about 90% of Sweden's workforce is covered by some type of collective bargaining agreement, even if the workers aren't in a union. So it's really unlikely that Tesla is going to get anybody to scab for them to keep operations up and running while they're, you know, working out whatever negotiations they need to work out with the Tesla service union. When you have 90% of your workforce covered by some sort of collective bargain agreement, that means that you have, if you're a Swedish citizen, you have an uncle, a brother, a spouse, a mom, a dad, a grandparent that's involved in some type of union. And I think it's very unlikely that you're going to cross that picket line. Like, it's taboo to cross a picket line here in the United States. And let's just say unions can be controversial here. If you live in a country where 90% of your workforce is covered by a collective bargaining agreement, again, not everybody in that 90% is union, but they are covered, that's a lot of peer pressure. There are 10.5 million people in Sweden, and I highly doubt that they're going to find very many people, if any, willing to cross that picket line to keep Tesla up and running. And even if they do, you know, the Swedish dock workers aren't going to unload new Tesla cars. Tesla's going to have to figure something else out, which I hope that something else that they figure out happens to be, you know, signing the collective bargaining agreement or coming to some sort of agreement with those workers. I think, honestly, I think Tesla would be better off if it did have a union, but or if their employees had a union, for sure. We mentioned a few weeks ago that Tesla was being sued over whether or not autopilot led to a fatal accident. And there's a couple of suits that are out there, two that I know of, but there's some other ones that are a little bit different, but there are two that are similar. In this particular case, the one we're going to talk about today, this was a civil lawsuit filed alleging that autopilot led to Micah Lee's Model 3 veering off the highway at 65 miles an hour, striking a palm tree and catching on fire. This incident led to Lee's death, and it injured 2 passengers, including a child, and the child was seriously injured. Tesla argued in court that Lee had consumed alcohol prior to getting behind the wheel. In addition, Tesla argued that it was unclear whether or not autopilot was engaged at the time of the crash. And I don't know if any of this is true. I don't know if Lee had anything to drink. I don't know how much he had to drink, if he did. I don't know what time frame he was drinking, but between drinking and the time that he drove. I don't know any of that stuff. So I'm just, you know, being as impartial as I possibly can about this is what I'm saying here. I would imagine, though, that it would be difficult to win a case of this type if the driver had consumed alcohol prior to driving the vehicle, even if it was a small amount, and even if that amount was hours before they drove, I think this would be difficult to win. The jury found that Lee's vehicle did not have any manufacturer's defect, and there was a 9-3 decision on the jury's part to rule in favor of Tesla in this. Now, Guidehouse Insights analyst Sam Abul-Samed said this about Tesla's full self-driving and autopilot disclaimers. I think that anyone is going to have a hard time beating Tesla in court on a liability claim, he said. This is something that needs to be addressed by regulators. If you're not familiar with Sam Abul-Samed, he is not a fan of Elon's, and he's been very critical of full self-driving and autopilot in the past. And I do find that in this instance, anyway, I do agree with him that this really needs to be addressed by regulators. And Elon needs to shut up. He needs to be quiet. I don't like using the word shut up because it's impolite, but he needs to shut up and stop talking about how great this feature is and how amazing it is and how it does all these things, because he's not helping Tesla in any way, shape, or form by doing this. All right, let's move on to our final story, which is not a bummer story. I didn't plan on putting all these Tesla stories that were sad and depressing and made Tesla look like a bad company. Didn't intend on doing that. That's just kind of how the news, the news came in this week. Final note real quick, though. Elon Musk announced that Tesla will produce a mass market 25,000 euro EV at Giga Berlin. So at this time, Tesla will manufacture an affordable EV at Giga Mexico, China, Giga Berlin, and Giga Texas, because on their last earnings call, it sounded like until Giga Mexico got up and running and the economy, macroeconomics, until that improved, Tesla felt more comfortable producing the $25,000 EV affordable car here in the United States. I wish they would just give us a name for this stupid car, because I don't know what to call it. But the affordable car that they're going to build in Berlin, Elon said it would be built for the European market. So that is unclear whether or not this new car will just be a different version of what they're going to sell here in North America, or if it'll be built specifically for the European market, or if it'll, you know, share some DNA with the US car or the Chinese car. We don't know. But it'll be interesting to find out, and hopefully they announce it soon. All right, everybody, that is it for me this week. Hope you all had a wonderful week. On Tuesday's show, we will have another earnings call. I can't remember quite who we'll have, because there's lots of earnings calls next week, but I'll pick one and we'll go from there. All right, everybody, thanks so much. I hope you all had a wonderful week, and I will talk to you soon.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.